Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Brad's mom overheard her 10-year-old son talking on the phone to his buddy George. "Yeah, why don't you come over after school tomorrow?" he suggested. "Then I'll take you over to Phil's house. Don't worry, there won't be anyone else home. Then he can show you the gun. It is really cool." From a parent's perspective, what do we need to know about weapons and safety? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we need to address a very serious issue, kids and weapons. We have two experts to help us. Officer Thomas Harrington is a school resource officer in Fairfax County, Virginia. He also teaches students about laws pertaining to juveniles. Officer Harrington is the father of two grown sons, ages 20 and 22. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Officer Harrington.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Ellen Carroll is a field security coordinator with the Montgomery County, Maryland Public Schools. She is responsible for security issues in a cluster of schools. Ellen has four grown children. We're so glad you could join us today, Ellen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Officer Harrington, what should we teach our kids about weapons? If you were going to make a checklist of what we should cover, what would you include?
When you say weapons, we'll primarily talk about guns. The first thing they should learn is that if you see a weapon or a gun laying around anywhere, don't touch it. Find an adult. But for a parent's perspective, guns should always be locked up. Unless you're using the weapon in a target shooting or you're a sworn police officer or someone that legitimately carries a weapon, should always be locked up. When you're locking it up, store the ammunition in a separate place. Don't store it with the weapon, because forbid that a child finds the gun. If he does find the gun, at least he won't have the ammunition that goes along with it. But if you store them together, then he has both.
What do you tell parents who say, well, but I need the gun in case a robber breaks into my house? If I have the ammunition stored separately, I'm certainly not going to be able to get this guy.
Those are tough questions. I mean, you know, but you have to look at them, you know, the life that they may save may be their child's when you look at it that way. And the keys, usually when you have a safe to a lock box or whatever that you're storing your gun in, keep that separately. And don't tell your kids where the keys are. You know, parents say, well, the keys to the lock box are, you know, hanging over here or they're in my top drawer. Well, why don't we just leave it unlocked and let the kid get it that way then? Because then he knows where the keys are. He can unlock it and get it out.
That's what I wanted to ask you, basically. Where do you lock up a gun, and how do you make it really secure?
Well, there are several ways. There are lock boxes that you can buy, about the size of maybe a cash box. You can buy safes. There are a numerous amount of things out there, you know, that are able to purchase. A simple trigger lock may be enough for what you need, depending upon your situation and each individual owner and what they're are able to afford, because you can spend anything from $30 to, you know, thousands of dollars to secure it.
Ellen, if a child discovers that his friend has a gun, what should the child do or say?
I think the child should tell his parents as soon as possible. I think parents need to know, and then how will they address that? They will have a conversation with their child. They'll wonder, you know, why does this other child's parent feel the need to have a gun in the house? How are they making that environment safe? Would my child have access if he were in the house playing with that child? There's lots of questions a parent should be asking a child, and having an open dialogue with your child about everything from not only guns but other kinds of weapons or just things that are inappropriate is very critical.
I think, Officer Harrington, before the show, you were mentioning an incident in a school where a child had a gun and he began to shoot the gun, and kids beforehand actually knew that he had had a gun and hadn't said anything.
That just occurred yesterday in the state of Washington, I believe it was. I heard something on the news about this morning where a young man entered a middle school. It was a summer school situation. He had threatened, apparently, a day before that he was going to shoot one of the teachers. He went into the cafeteria, stood on a cafeteria table, and fired one or two rounds into the ceiling. Reports later on filtered out that several of the students in the school hadn't seen the gun approximately an hour before and didn't tell anyone about it.
So what can we do to impress upon our children that they need to speak up if they know something?
There's no other way to tell a child other than if you see something that's this dangerous, you've got to tell someone. Don't worry about being the quote-unquote the rat fink or the stoolie or whatever you want to call it, you know, because when this person, student or whomever, decides to start shooting, you may be the one he shoots, you know, and try and drive that point home to them. And don't just think of guns. I mean, knives, bats, whatever this student may be bringing into a school or into his home or walking down the street with. Hey, you know, if you see a kid walking down the street with a bow and arrow, should you go in and tell your mom and dad? Well, yeah, maybe you should. Bobby or Jim or whoever's walking down the street carrying a bow and arrow, Mom, and it's, you know, he's got it ready to fire.
If a kid says, I have a bomb in my backpack, it's not a joke in today's world.
No, far
Kids
from it.
Kids have to speak up on that kind of thing. At least a million moms marched for gun safety, Ellen, in many cities around the country. What is gun safety?
I think gun safety starts with education. And we need to talk to our children and have a voice in our community and discuss why we have guns, what our intention is, why we feel the need to have guns in our home, and how we're going to protect our children when those guns are in our home. Having been married to a police officer, and I'm the mother of a police officer, there are guns, handguns, in my home. And the rule is we have to make it a safe environment. It has to be secured properly. I feel strongly, as Officer Harrington does, that the ammunition needs to be separate from the gun. And those things ensure that this is safe. I think educating our children, talking about weapons, talking about aggression, why we need weapons, is the first part of gun safety and the most important part.
Officer Harrington, what kinds of laws do we have about guns? I think parents and children don't necessarily know what the laws are.
In the local area that I work in, which is in Virginia, under the age of 18, you're not allowed to have a weapon in your possession unless there's an adult with you.
What happens if you do?
They're Class 1 misdemeanors. You can receive a sentence. But also, if you're even if you're an adult or someone or a child and you're convicted of a crime in the state of Virginia, after you're convicted of a simple assault or anything like that, you're no longer allowed to have a weapon at all. That means you can't go hunting when you're 21 or 22 or 25. The law says you can no longer be allowed to have a weapon. They have tightened the laws up very tightly. Matter of fact, just recently in the state of Virginia, I believe there's other states that carry this law, so police officers, if we get involved in a domestic violence with our own wives or anything like that and we are convicted, we lose our firearm. Well, if I lose my firearm, I lose my job. So it's not that we're exempt to these laws. Everyone has these laws, and they all have to be followed.
But if a 13-year-old, for example, or a 12-year-old is convicted of having a weapon, mm-hmm. and obviously he's underage, what happens?
It depends on the jurisdictions, what their specific laws state. Generally, I would probably say they would probably end up in a juvenile court system. Convictions, if it's a first-time offense, if it's a minor thing such as just shooting it in the woods or things like that, they may get some community service, things along those lines.
But it does go on some kind of a record.
Oh, there's a record of it, yeah. In the state of Virginia, you can now be tried as an adult at the age of 14. So that, and those laws are changing where, you know, if you're convicted of this kind of a crime and a felony, it stays with you the rest of your life. It no longer goes away at 18.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about if a child is with a friend who has a gun, who's using the gun, is the child an accomplice?
And those kind of things, you're looking at each case on an individual basis. Did he know he had it? You know, were they shooting it together? Were they passing it back and forth? I mean, that's an thing that has to be looked at by individual, case by case.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Officer Thomas Harrington and Ellen Carroll about kids and weapons.
This is really a question for both of you because you've had police officers in both of your homes living there. Mm-hmm. What do police officers tell their children about the guns in their homes?
In our home, we talked to the children about what a tremendous responsibility this was and how well-trained their dad was in dealing with this responsibility. And that carried over with my son also, that this is important. This is how he does his job. Hopefully he'll never have to use his gun, but he does need it in order to perform his daily tasks. And that if dad ever was not responsible with his gun, we wanted to hear about it. If he came home and took it off and didn't put it away immediately, the kids knew that they didn't touch the gun, that they reminded dad or mom that it had to be secured. We taught them everything that we thought at the age was age appropriate for them to know about weapons, took them through a weapons course at the local Isaac Walton League, because we wanted them to understand how firearms work, the responsibility involved, and how devastating they could be if they're not used and handled properly.
you mentioned a weapons course, and I'm just wondering what that is.
In our area, there's an Isaac Walton League, and there's a weapons safety course offered. And I encourage parents to look into this to see if it fits their needs. We took our children, and there's an instructor there who talked all about firearms, whether they were handguns or rifles, and talked about safety issues, how well they prepare the weapon, keep the weapon clean, secure the weapon, and they actually get to fire the weapon. And I think it's important that kids understand these things. It was important to us, so important that we took advantage of this opportunity.
What went on in your house?
When I first became a police officer, which was 10 years ago, my sons, they were 12 and 10, I guess. And they were very inquisitive about it. My father was a police officer, so I taught them the same way that I was taught. I bought the gun in the house, disassembled it, showed it to them, let them pick it up, let them see what it was, put it back together, told them that this was probably the only thing in the house they were not allowed to touch. It was mine. If it's laying around, don't touch it. It's mine. Call me. I will take care of it. The other thing I did was I took them out and shot, taught them how to shoot. Take the mystery out of it. That's the important thing, I think. Mm-hmm. If you take the mystery out of it, then they understand what it's all about, how loud a noise it makes when it does go off. You know, it's not one of these things in the movies where the guy just stands there and it goes bang, 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 and nothing happens. You know, the jolting, how it jolts when it goes off, this kind of thing. So they understand what it's all about. Make them understand that this is not a toy. It's not meant to be a toy. And I have several kids in school, when I go into schools, officer, can I see your gun? No, it's not a toy. It's mine. It stays in my holster, and I only take it out for one reason, and I need to use it. Thankful the Lord, I've never had to do that, but, if it comes down to it, I'll have to. But it's not a toy, and it's not something that I, display to people. Say, can I see your handcuffs? Yeah, you can see my handcuffs. I'll show you those. But I'm not going to pull my gun out and show you my gun.
Well, we wanted to get back to the idea of aggression because we had touched on it a little bit earlier. And I guess we wonder what parents can do to help children with aggressive feelings where they obviously won't want them to use a gun. And the question is, how can we deal with that in a setting where there's much more aggression, there's more violence, children are exposed to more violence, they're taught might makes right and so on. How do we deal with this?
Well, the first thing we can do is be a good role model. We can deal with our own frustration and anger. I know, typically we talk about road rage and you're in the car and someone cuts you off and there's lots of different ways you can respond. You can be aggressive right back or you can say, well, yeah, fine, pull in. What you show your children is what you expect of them. If you're not aggressive, if you've learned to control your temper, and everybody gets angry every day. Anger is a very normal emotion. It's how we deal with it. And I know that our schools are working very hard to teach children to be good citizens, to deal with their frustrations and anger appropriately. And as adults, as the parents, we have to be the best role model they have. There are a number of programs available to our students to deal with anger management. Peer mediation is a wonderful program that starts in the elementary school and teaches kids lifetime skills about dealing with anger and frustration. And we carry that program all the way through the high schools. And many of our schools embrace these kinds of things because it gives us another way to work with our kids. Talking about anger, talking about frustration is a way to deter aggression.
In the schools now, they have mentor programs. And teachers are out trying to identify students that they may feel have an aggression problem, children that what I would say have a short fuse, if you would put it that way. And a lot of the teachers try and identify these kind of kids. And what they do then is they may put them into a mentoring program or put them into other programs. So the school teachers also, not only parents, should be out there watching for these kind of kids because they see a different side of the child than the kid that's at home. When a kid comes home in the afternoon, he's tired. Mom and dad say he just seems very lackadaisical. He just doesn't want to care about anything. But in school, he could be a totally opposite child. He could be very aggressive towards kids or something like that, trying to be the tough guy in the school, if you will. And these are the kind of kids we have to identify. And once we get them identified, then I think we can work from there and help them.
Sounds like parents need to be constantly in touch with the school.
Yes.
So they can know what kinds of behaviors show up there.
It's amazing to me. I work in a high school, and it seems like when they come from middle school to high school, the parent involvement seems to drop off. Okay, it's like, well, he's in high school now, he can handle it. And this is where they really need to be involved, is in the high school, in the middle school, in the high school areas, because this is where the kids get more peer pressure. This is where the weapons, quote unquote, are available. I mean, statistics show from the ages of 15 to 19 years of age is when most accidents happen using handguns. 41% of kids polled said that they could easily access a weapon.
We've talked a lot on many of our shows about how important it is, number one, for parents to be role models and remember that we are, even at our worst moments, we are modeling our behavior, and two, for parents to be very involved in their children's schools. And when you are, the school personnel know you, and that makes a huge difference if there is any kind of problem. And if your child happens to be a child with this kind of problem or some other one, you're very likely to be contacted by the school in a nicer way than you might be if they had never met you, didn't know who you are.
The other thing is, I think parents of teenagers always feel that we're swimming upstream, because it's certainly not going to be something that a teenager is going to say, oh, yeah, I sure would like you to call my teacher. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to be involved. Just show up there every day at the high school. Good idea. So we have to remember to feel comfortable ourselves doing this, even with a background of what? You know, wait a minute, I don't want you there. And that
How
kind
come
of thing.
You're the chairman? Why couldn't somebody else's mother be in charge? Right.
Sounds like my children talking.
Among us, we have a lot of children. If a child or an adult knows someone in his school has a knife or a gun or some other kind of a weapon, what is that child's responsibility, and how do kids know what their responsibilities are?
We try to teach children in elementary school to be good citizens, to report dangerous situations, and that builds as they grow older. Then that critical time comes at the end of middle school when it's more important to understand how they're perceived by their peers than adults. But we still trust that kids are going to do the right thing. They do come and speak to the adults that are accessible to them. Like Officer Harrington, like the school-based security that we have, we get tremendous information from kids. They want a safe environment. I think we've averted so many potentially serious situations in schools across the nation because kids do come forward. They've seen so much on the news in recent years, and they know that they're going to hear about it, they're going to feel it, they're going to understand that their peers are having problems, and they don't want to be in an environment that we've seen, you know, Columbine or some of the other school tragedies that we have experienced. They want to be safe, and they are reporting situations. I know every day they report to school-based security, and I'm sure Officer Harrington has that same experience in his school.
Definitely. The kids are talking. The kids are realizing that a lot of them have pride in their schools, and they don't want these kind of things to reflect back on what their school has become. And this is where a lot of them are saying, hey, you know, this is my school too, and you've got to realize that I don't want this to happen. So they're coming forward. You know, I may just get a simple little note in my box, you know, Billy Jones has marijuana, or he may have a gun in his locker or in his book bag. That's all it takes. I'm not looking for the kid to come face-to-face to me. Just tell me that, you know. And I'm not going to violate anybody's rights by doing illegal searches or anything like that. The school has the right to do a search a lot faster than I do. I just pass the information on to school, and the school can do the search. You know, let they find it. So these are the things that we need to do and understand.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Officer Thomas Harrington and Ellen Carroll about kids and weapons.
Are there other actions, Ellen, that schools can take to try to ensure a protected environment for students and staff?
Well, educating the kids, telling them up front, this is our expectation, this is what will happen if it's not met, this is our discipline policy. Every secondary student receives a rights and responsibility book the first day of school, and there are certain chapters that are gone over in class to make it clear to kids that these are the expectations. Certainly if there's any local school rules, you know, some schools have rules that you can't wear hats in school. It's not a countywide policy, but that's discussed on the local school. If you can't wear a hat, what happens when you do wear a hat into the building? You're asked to remove it. If an adult asks you to give them your hat because you haven't complied, how do you get it later? We start from A and cover every base. Give the kids all the information they need to make good decisions.
And now, Officer Harrington, you're in a program where the officers are in the schools. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Well, the School Resource Officer Program, which is, I'm sure, throughout the country, there are a lot of different programs in the same area. I know Montgomery County's starting there, so they hopefully get there started soon. And that's a program where there's an officer assigned to a school Monday through Friday during the school day. We're there usually prior to the start of school for the day, and we're there till the end of the day. We walk the halls during breaks. During lunchtime, we're usually in the cafeteria or depending upon school. Some schools are what we call closed campus where you're not allowed to leave. They're not allowed to leave the building. They may have a rec area they can go to, those kind of things. We're those areas. Where the most student body is that usually where we are. In Fairfax County, we've had great results. The parents love seeing the police car parked in front of the school every morning when they drop them off. And it's not that, you know, the schools have a problem. It's just that it gives the parents, the student, and the teacher a sense of security that makes all of them able to, the teacher better to do her job or his job, the student more comfortable to learn knowing that, you know, there's a policeman here, I don't have to worry about something happening here. And if a kid gets intimidated by another student in the school, he knows he can come talk to myself or an administrator about it, and we'll pull the guy aside. Not necessarily involving a weapon, but, you know, the bully type stuff. You know, give me your lunch money, that kind of stuff going on. And that still goes on in schools today. So those are other things that, you know, we get involved with. I also teach some classes on basic, you know, by the state of Virginia has a thing called class action, where the officer goes in and teaches the 11th grade and the 8th grade's laws that pertain to them. And these are all parts of the program that are out there. We do driver's ed programs, you know, teach them about DWI, and we do mock accidents for the prom season. What I try and show the kids is another side of the police officer than the guy that shows up on a Friday or Saturday night and breaks up their party, that there's more to this uniform than a guy that's going to go write them a ticket. Yes. Somebody that does care about them.
Evidently, when students get used to having a police officer in the school, I would imagine they realize this is a person they can approach with questions about other things.
Definitely. I've had instances where, one I related to you at the beginning of the show, where a young lady, I had taught a class for her. She wanted to know if she could talk to me afterwards. We spoke for a couple of days. She would come in and spend a little time with me. And then she finally brought out that she had been abused when she was 12 years old. Would she have ever reported that? She's now 17. Would she have ever reported that? I don't know. But maybe just the fact that she felt comfortable talking to me, you know, it worked out that way. And we were able to do some background checks on it and actually arrested the individual.
Officer Harrington, what resources would you suggest for parents to learn more about protecting their kids from weapons? What kinds of resources can we offer our listeners?
You go to your local police departments. They have plenty of information out there. You can contact the NRA. National Rifle Association, they have safety training classes. There's a one that I particularly like. I'm not endorsing it, but I like, and it's called Common Sense About Kids and Guns.
How do you get information from
You can go through the website on that, and it's kidsandguns, all one word, .org. And they have multiple resources in there, listing of what a parent should do, how to talk to your child about it. They have a program out there. It's called the National Pledge. It took place last year. October 17th of this year is National Child Safety, I believe it's called. And they're trying to beat their goal last year of students taking a pledge that the schools are going to be starting to put out, I hope, and all throughout the country. And when they do this, they're trying to beat their goal of 2 million signatures last year, where it just simply says that, you know, I will not use a gun in aggression, and if I know of anyone that will do it, then I will, you know, report it to the proper people. It's really a great program. And they have it for the younger children also that, the pledge for them is if I see a gun, I will not touch it. I will get an adult, that type of thing.
Impressive.
So it's a way to get children involved at a young age.
Definitely. Yeah. And the NRA has a program called Eddie Eagle, and that's the program for children that the NRA runs. And that's all available on their websites.
And you were talking, Ellen, about the Isaac Walton League as another place where parents can go.
Right. It's there are many of them. I'm sure they have a web page, too, although I'm not familiar with their address. But it is a place where people can learn about gun safety. And I strongly encourage them to find places to learn about gun safety. And we can protect our children that way.
Okay. Well, we have had a valuable opportunity with both of you to help protect and inform our parents, to help our children all about gun safety and weapons in relation to our kids. So thank you very much to Officer Thomas Harrington and to Ellen Carroll. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web. For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, just send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or call our toll-free number 1-800-791-8573. 1-800-791-8573. You can also email us at parentsper@aol.com. That's parentsper@aol.com. To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective, all one word, http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.